Want to do something different this coming New Year's Eve? Want to make some new friends, share some laughs and give something back to the community? Then please come along and join in with the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show, a 24-hour Ogcast marathon. We're running for the full 24 hours starting from Monday, December the 31st at 1200 UTC. I'll be there and I really want to spend my New Year's Eve getting to know you too. Full participation details are available at www.hackerpublicradio.org.
Hello, my name's Dick Thomas. You can find my blog at www.xpd259.co.uk. I've been listening to Hacker Public Radio for about 6 months now, and I'm loving every show. And I was just checking out the website, and it appears that requested topics are how you got into Linux, and how did you get into Linux geekdom? So I thought I'd do a quick podcast on that. So, where to start? I think where I should start is my first computer. I was about 8 years old, so that makes it around 1988, and it was a ZX Spectrum Plus 3. This was my very first computer. It was an 8-bit Z80 CPU, and it was an awesome introduction to computers before the Mac and PC was affordable, really. For a home PC, it used BASIC, and I learned how to program BASIC and did really well in it, and even learned some machine code. Can't remember any of it now except 10, go to 10, print 10 and all that rubbish. My favourite game was R-Type, which sadly you can't legally acquire from the Spectrum archive repositories. And so I've had to resort to an Xbox version, which isn't quite the same playing it on the Xbox 360 as it was playing it on the Spectrum. I used that machine until I was about 15 when I took it apart and blew it up. And then a family friend lent me his laptop, which I subsequently broke using double space to try and double the amount of hard drive space available to me. I broke it by not letting it run all the way, and then I had to manually run it, stop it, copy over some files, delete the files, and it was just a pain in the ass. So I learned lots of system commands in DOS, and this was running Windows 3.11 for workgroups. It was a first experience for me using DOS, and I learned so much. So I'll always be thankful to him for lending me that computer, even though I did break it for him. My first computer of my own I got when I was 16. I got a part-time job just to pay for the thing. Saved up £200, went to a computer market, bought a computer, and it was a 33 MHz with a turbo button to 66 MHz. It had 4 MB of RAM and a 150 MB hard drive. And I believe it was running Windows 95, which I bought at the time. It also had internet access, which was new and novel for me. At this point, I started learning how to make web pages, staying up all night, reading everything I possibly could about making web pages. This was before HTML4, I think. But I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that. I remember I used Front Page because I didn't know HTML, but we digress. I stayed with this computer for a few years till I was about 16 when I moved to Cornwall. That's in southern England, and I live in the north of England. It's about 7 hours journey. I was at a police auction and I found a copy of Windows NT4. that came with a legitimate serial key, so I bought that for a extortionate £2, which is about $3.50. And I really loved that NT was more secure than Windows 95 was. Not much more secure, but more secure. I stayed with this for a few years, but I wasn't quite satisfied with it. And the quality of the software wasn't particularly great. In 1991, Linux was released, as we all know. I heard about it, but had no idea how to get it or how to use it or anything. In 1997, a PC magazine that I bought had an article about Linux and how it was going to become big. This caught my interest, but the magazine didn't come with any kind of CD-ROM, and it just gave a link to, I think, Slackware. And I just didn't have the dial-up capability to download all those floppy disks and make working copies of the floppy disks. And then I had no idea how to partition safely, and I didn't want to break my then girlfriend's Windows installation just so I could play with this exciting new toy that I'd found about. But I kept an eye on it. In 1999, I came across Coral Linux on a book. So I bought the book, put the CD-ROM in the drive. There was no downloading, and it was just good to get on without the downloading. Unfortunately, it was a painful experience. Almost no hardware worked out of the box. I was limited to the command line. It took 6 months to get a X11 display working in VGA mode, but it got me interested in free software, and it got me interested in Linux. Unfortunately, I had to give up on that because the printer didn't work, or even under Windows. I think there was something wrong with it hardware-wise. It had been dragged from one end of the country to the other, and with no internet connection under Linux, it was impossible to memorize all the commands I needed to try, reboot, and then try them under Linux, and then reboot back to Windows to look for another answer or another permutation of the commands I needed. So I gave up again, unfortunately. In about 2000, while living in London, working as a chef, I had access to an internet cafe, so I downloaded Mandrake Linux, burnt it to a CD and played with that. I got 3D acceleration working, and I was so happy that I could now play Tux Racer and other 3D games on my Linux box that I actually deleted Windows off the machine and stuck with Linux. Unfortunately, after about 6 months in London, I could no longer tolerate the lifestyle down there. People were just too rude and it was too busy. So I packed up, moved back to Yorkshire, and I lost the CD. But at the time, I didn't really care because I had a working system and I didn't think anything would go wrong. Much to my horror, about 6 months later, the computer failed to boot, and I didn't have a Windows CD, I didn't have a Linux CD. So I was stuck with this dead computer, and I didn't know what to do, so I went out and bought a copy of, I think, Windows XP, maybe. This was about 2002, but while I was in PC World, the computer store, I also spotted a boxed Linux of SUSE, so I bought that as well. It was about
£70,
take a break here and get a cup of tea,
which is about $90.
So. I really enjoyed Susan.
Hello and welcome to the
Hacker
Public Radio.
I'm your host,
the Hacker Community,
and with me tonight is
Foxy.
Tonight's top story: a man is trapped in his home by his raid neglected computers. A group of teenagers use a toaster to steal government secrets. Algebraic
PGP drive encryption
using only a Dungeons and Dragons 20-sided die. And finally, we'll talk about the perfect egg salad recipe. That's Monday through Friday on
Hacker Public Radio.
Only on
HackerPublicRadio.com.
Okay. Had a cup of tea, feeling quite fresh now. Where were we? At this point, I was still using XP and Linux, mostly Linux for fun and games and browsing the internet, but XP for my college work. I finished college. I then moved into my own house, and my next door neighbour was one of the Gen 2 developers. So after an epic system crash or a virus infection or hard drive failure, and I lost all my documents, I no longer had any reason to keep the Windows partition. So he helped me install Gen 2 and configure everything, get NVIDIA graphics working, set up Wi-Fi, set up a server with my own mail server. Basically, he could do anything. He was a complete and utter star. Total geek, but a star. I really loved Gen 2. It was everything I imagined Linux to be. It was free, it was open, software was available, it had a huge repository. But unfortunately, as I moved to an AMD 64 machine, at that time the unstable branch was more stable than the stable branch. So many things didn't work, and I wanted to stick with 64-bit and help report bugs. But the constant errors, huge build times, like OpenOffice could take 2 or 3 days to build, bad politics, flaming when you try to report a bug, I just gave up on it. These things have improved, so I've been told, but at the time I just couldn't be bothered anymore with the hassle, so I looked around for a new distribution. At this point I also got rid of Windows. This was 10 years ago now. I've since then used various distributions, but I settled on Ubuntu because that's what other people at the Lug were using in Leeds. So I had some support there, and I've never used Ubuntu or a Debian distribution before, but it just worked and I liked that. I used it for maybe 2 or 3 versions, and then Unity happened. And while many people do love Unity, I love GNOME and GNOME 3. So I wasn't happy with that, so I distro hopped again. I must have gone through everything from OpenSUSE, Linux Mint, Fedora, BSD. I finally settled on Debian. I thought, why use a Debian derivative when I could use Debian itself? And I didn't need any hand-holding after using Ubuntu even. And my Gentoo experience helped with the command line stuff. So I'm now a fully paid up member of the Debian fan club. It's on my HP micro server. I've got a Chroot on my Galaxy Nexus. It's on my desktop, it's on my laptop. It's basically on everything that I can get my grubby little hands on. I've also contributed financially to the Debian handbook, which reached its liberation goal, so you can download the Debian handbook for free from debian-handbook.info. That can be a PDF or an EPUB. I also now make videos for Dix Installs on YouTube, promoting free software and Linux distributions. I show the installation from downloading on the website to the review of the desktop, which I do not for any other reason than to help promote the Linux that I love, seeing as I can't code very well, and bug reports are a bit few and far between because I don't really know how to explain the bug when I do find them. So you can find those on YouTube. I'm also learning C and GTK for the purpose of writing a screen capture program, because at the moment I'm using a bash script I created using Zenity. I also am learning how to use Git and Bash for the purpose of improving my Linux skills and my command line foo. And this is, brings us up to date, where I'm a Debian user and happy with it. I run Wheezy. I have quite a powerful machine, so I enjoy the GNOME 3 interface, and it works very well with my workflow. On my laptop I use XFCE because my laptop's quite a few years old. But I'm happy. Glad I've not used Windows for 10 years. I do have a virtual machine with Windows 7 on it, but I've installed it and I've never used it since. I do use some proprietary software such as Spotify, but that's only because there isn't an open source alternative as far as I know. So that's it. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this. And thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.